so many more McCulloughs.
But I wanted to make today shorter so you can again prepare. Tomorrow we'll talk about Kinyan Sudar more. And again, picking up from the Ha'ara of the Magen Mishnah. And, you know, mostly the coincidence that these issues seem to revolve around cases of Kinyan Sudar. And we understand already why, but it's just to go through some of the evidence and to analyze it a little more, you know, specifically. But today, just to finish up what we were doing yesterday, again, there are many, many more, but we were going through some of the makoros that test, you know, the boundaries, let's call it, of regular Kinyan and Kinyan Devar. And as we've seen, you know, Chalukah, Sashutvas, you know, where, you know, things of that sort clearly are Devar Mialma, or, you know, I'm going to make you my Mohel, or, you know, I promise to make you my Mohel, things like that. Other things that we saw, those seem obvious, you know, either they're neither, like, you know, a legal, you know, chalos, let's say, nor are they in the present, nor are they, you know, something, you know, that is specific in many cases. They're almost always, you know, mechusar maisa. They're almost of the nature, and that goes to the first point of just being, you know, promises or, you know, intentions or even a promise of actions, but not necessarily of transactions, if you know what I mean. So those are obvious. And then, of course, you know, the you know, more amorphous cases are the ones where, you know, some of these elements are missing, you know. And those are the ones where we're trying to figure out whether or not there isn't a difference between what I was calling, you know, a promise and a commitment, or a delayed transaction, you know, or a schaivus to a transaction, as opposed to just, you know, an intended, you know, later action or even a promise, etc. So we talked about the sugya masra. That's a very interesting issue, two aspects of that. Then we talked about the sugya in Gittin and the avodah zarah. And the Rishonim and that. I just wanted to finish up with that issue in the sugya on Reish Vav. I couldn't find in my office the tour. So, but if somebody has a tour with the, what is it, the Drisha, it's more expansive there. But so in Simen Reish Vav, I just want to talk about these Sma, the Ksos, and the Nesivas. This is all coming up, you know, also from the background of the the Gemara, of course, of Etain, and the Gemara of if I sell it to anybody, I will sell it to you. That Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara itself is a case, you know, simply, you know, without any qualification. in the Rambam and the Rif, we already find Me'achshav. The origin of that seems to be, I think I mentioned this already, Sefer Mekachumemkar of the Avrap Haigon, where which is not so surprising. Avrap Haigon had, you know, an enormous influence in Sefer Mekachumemkar, as he did in Mishpatei Shavuos, but especially in Mekachumemkar. Even I mentioned that the Rif and the Rambam have a different perspective on Asmachta, which is actually kind of related to all of Kinyan Devarim in a way. And again, some Rishonim even see them as interchangeable. But either way, some of the issues are parallel if you interpret the way the Rif and the Rambam did. It's interesting to note that also originally, that idea that, you know, asmachta is structural, you know, it has to do with the way that the das and the kinyan are set up, as opposed to simply, you know, the question of it being a guzma or something that you clearly don't want to happen and are just, you know, kind of holding over the other fellow, you know, as a, you know, to try to tempt him, but you don't think it'll ever happen. That idea also, by the way, has its origins in Sefer Mekachumemkar, Rav Haigon. Anyways, so the Rav Haigon, the Rif, the Rambam, and many Rishonim, the majority of Rishonim, you know, follow through, and that's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch as well, assume that the case in Avodah Zarah. That works as a case of Me'akshav. Omer l'chaver kishemkar sadazu harei hi mechura lach. Right? Me'akshav b'mana. So, v'kana miyado al kach olach arzman machra lacher b'mana kana rishon. Then, of course, the question is, what happens if the other fellow offers more? And that's a nenas, whatever, but we're not going to go into all that for now. But the inclusion of me'akshav here, as I say, is clearly motivated by one or two factors, depending on what you look at in terms of the Rishonim. So the Bala Itur, Beis Yosef actually quotes it, Alatar, is almost exclusively focused on the problem of Asmachta. Again, it's very parallel to the Sugin Bal Basra Gav Kuf Mem, where some Rishonim are only concerned about Asmachta, and others are concerned only about, Kinyan Dvarim, and others are concerned about both. And again, for the same reason, the ingredients, they're different cases. You could be Mechalik, but the issues are parallel. So it's interesting that the Itur was only concerned about Asmachta, and then in the end he says Yesh Meravusa who think that you need Me'akshav because otherwise it's an Asmachta problem, and then he himself says he doesn't think it's a problem of Asmachta, and so on. But nonetheless, in other Rishonim clearly thought that the problem is a Kinyan Devarim problem. That seems to be the majority view. So I just wanted to talk briefly about, in addition to, we already saw in the Mishnah Lamelech, the quotation of the Rivash, right, who seems to ignore Me'akshav. Again, the Itur thinks that you could get away without Me'akshav, actually. So there are real machloksim here regarding both Asmachta and Kinyan Devarim. But what are some of the factors? So there's a very interesting sma. The sma doesn't exactly, reject. The sma here in Shulchan Aruch and the beginning of Siman Reish Vav, and he tells you to look at, what he wrote in the end of Siman, I think, Kupsani Hei, but also especially what he wrote here in the Drisha. If anybody has that open, it's more, it's a little more explicit. But we can start with the sma itself. But it's clear that he is, not... So, if somebody's going to read it, go ahead. Yeah. So, what bothers him, what does that mean?
That he, it sounds like what we were saying, that since there's the potential to do something now, but he's seemingly intentionally delaying it.
Exactly. There's a difference between, again, we talked about this when we talked about Yitol. Right, and etain, because Yitol just means, especially the Yitol in Bava Basra, there's nothing to do about it. You can still say it's illegal, but certainly, you're trying to, be mezakeh to a child who's not yet born. So, once you decide that the Ubar, is not Kona, so then the best you could do is Yitol. You could say it's not enough, but certainly there's no delay. You're trying as much as possible to make this a delayed, kinyan, not just, to artificially delay it or make it into a commitment, mechusar maisa to do a later, kinyan. Delayed kinyan is different than a commitment to make a later kinyan. Etain, at least the, it's a lashon of matana, so is it a delayed, matana? Or is the commitment to a matana still different than the commitment, to divide a shudfus? So these are some of the questions, but what the sma is troubled by, if you look at the drisha, did you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, we started.
Yeah, go ahead, Stephen. He's concerned... in general, is it so obvious that these Lashonos are Kinyan Dvarim? But in particular, just the part, you don't have to read the Asmachta part, which I think is the first half, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
this is just the second part when he talks about Kinyan Dvarim. But he's particularly concerned that the Rambam, Udi Ime, are of the opinion, this isn't so, so probably we'll get to this when we talk about the Suda part, which is tomorrow, hopefully. And that is every Kinyan Sudar, even when it isn't explicated, assumed to be Me'akshav? Okay? And if that's the case, then why here do you need to explicate Me'akshav? I mean, the Rambam himself, Paskin, of the Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, Bali Tosis, Paskin, you know, that the default of Kinyan Sudar is Me'akshav. So why here is it necessary to have that?
Have we pushed the Rajva and the Shuvah?
The Rajva and the Shuvah that you need, Me'akcha, right?
Yeah, we shouldn't have a Kinyan Dvarim, Shreilah Hikmah
Mokhan. Because otherwise it's Kinyan Dvarim. Yeah, okay. And then he says, like, but I don't get it, right? Why would you need that when the Lashon, when the Stam Kinyan is Me'akcha? Doesn't he have that?
The Stam Kinyan have a Kohmer Me'akcha?
Yep. So he says, so what's the point of saying Me'achshav if the Stam Kinyan is Me'achshav?
Yeah. So Stam Kinyan have a Kohmer Me'achshav.
A little louder, just a little louder.
Stam Kinyan have a Kohmer Me'achshav. Ve'af agab d'lo omar Me'achshav. Ve'afilu hecha d'omar blushon d'i.
D'i, you know, which is sounds a little more like asmakta. Again, Me'achshav is helpful for both asmakta, assuming that they're different, both for asmakta and for Kinyan Dvarim. Right? Okay, go ahead.
Avikasher ochachti b'siat shmaya b'simin reish zayin sekates v'ochacha gemura v'im isa shim omer me'achshav b'feirush mesalik mizatainas kinyan dvarim gam below omer me'achshav lihavi komer me'achshav.
I mean, what's the difference if me'achshav neutralizes kinyan dvarim and every sudar is me'achshav, right? Then that's the end of it. So he ends up suggesting, and again, that's what he's alluding to here in the Sma, and he rightfully tells you to look at what he wrote in the Drisha, because it's much more expansive. Right? So here he just says, Hodetzar chlomar me'akshav, of kasa be'sosa b'darkei Moshe, dim lokin havle esmachta o kinyan dvarim. And then he says, u'bedrisha kasavti, de'en kan esmachta gemura, v'lo kinyan dvarim gamur. Not really. Ela mishum de nitzarif l'reisa mashigila daito shalayat chela kinyan miad. While derek shenizbar la'el. So there he expands more. Basically, what he suggests, he also points out that me'achshav, right, doesn't help you in certain kinyan dvarim. Like, let's say you were to say, let's say you were to throw a me'achshav into our gemara in Bava Basra. Right, the chalukas hashutfas. Would it help? You have that line? In the Drisha. So that he ends up trying to say is that there are really two types of kinyan dvar. What's that? Yeah. He's saying Me'achshav is not a panacea. Okay? That's what the Sma says. Me'achshav doesn't just solve your problem. Because there are kinyan dvarims, like, let's, you know, that, that you know, that don't, like, you could say Me'achshav all day long if you say, let's go and be cholek, but you don't make it, you don't actually the bara or the rukos, and you're not actually doing the it might be nonsensical too. It might be a little bit of a setup. What he's saying, but do you have that there? Or am I making that up? I thought he has a line where he says, "And don't think Me'achshav helps you in all cases, because it doesn't." So I think what he says is that there are two kinyan dvarims. There's a kinyan dvarim which is inherently kinyan dvarim, right? And then of course Me'achshav doesn't help you because it either is nonsensical, this doesn't mean anything, or it does have some meaning, it doesn't. Either way, it might be two ways of saying the same thing. It doesn't solve the problem. And then there are cases which are kind of on the border. Now, it's not that something is mufka from kinyanim, like chalukas hashutfas, right, which is totally an action. Chalukas hashutfas, there's no chalos. right? I commit to splitting up the partnership. Right? You don't have it there?
I can't find it.
Anybody have it? It's a bit of a long piece. Go ahead, Josh. The part where he says me'achshav doesn't help you, and then when he says the two types. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. So what's he saying?
That when it comes to the chalukas and shutfin, the ma'afshav, so to make the chaluka earlier, it doesn't
mean anything.
Yeah, it doesn't add anything.
And because it's mufka from being a kinyan. It's just, it's really kinyan dvarim bial. It's dvarim bial. Right? So that's not going to help you. But if you're talking about a kinyan, then the problem is the timing of the kinyan, right? Because it sounds like you are, you know, I'll say it this way. There's a line, you know, fine line between promising, you know, to do something, which is still mechus ha-maisa, and doing something l'mafreya, and doing something, you know, even through a delayed kinyan maybe, but basically the kinyan is now, but delayed, or something which you could do now, you know, but you intentionally delay, right? Those are all different things. If the difference between, let's say, yitol and etin, is that in one you have a choice, and the other you don't, right? So too, you can do something b'kinyan sudar, and that can make it technically me'akshav, right? But the fact that you kind of make it sound like you're intentionally delaying it, says the Sma, that can make it also kind of kinyan dvarim. Correct? You have that line? As he continues.
Does that, you know, the heart of being a sphere like Tosfos?
That the sphere like a Tosfos is that kinyan sudar is me'akshav, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then that's what he's explaining, and that's what he means in the Sma and Shulchan Aruch also, and that is it is me'akshav kinyan sudar, but by your, there's a reisa, right, in using language or formulation that dafka makes it seem that it isn't. Right? Do you have that? I mean, that's what he says here also, just it's more explicit in the drisha. Correct. So is it me'akshav, or is it? It just doesn't help you that it's me'akshav, or it isn't me'akshav.
The gilo that sounds like doesn't help you.
It sounds like it doesn't help you, even though it is still me'akshav for purposes of asmachta, let's say, you know, and other things. So that's very mechudash. So the bigger point I'm trying to make here is that if we've been talking about there being, you know, this kind of, you know, in between status of something which is, you know, dvarim or kinyan, I mean, something that, you know, where, and that all these, you know, very subtle, you know, differences, you know, could be, you know, the fine line, you know, that dictates, you know, that issue. In environment, it doesn't. You're making it delayed. So what you're really saying is, you know, that like you're holding back. If you're holding back the kinyan, then that's kinyan dvar. Then basically what you're doing is you're turning almost like a kinyan or a commitment into a promise, right, or something like that. You know, you're detracting, you know, from the hiskaibus, you know, from the real kinyan aspect, you know, of it. As opposed to situations like Yitol, where, on the contrary, you're striving as much as possible to make this into a pure kinyan, just that the circumstances require, you know, that it unfold over time. So in light of that, and I'm going to finish another minute or two, so in light of that, the Ksos and the Sivas have this interesting, you know, exchange also. Again, they're trying to explain. You have the Excel open?
Yeah.
Resh Vav, what is it? Aleph. One second. The Xos and the Sea, they're both weighing into this whole Rivash, Mishlo Melech, you know, issue. And, you know, again, trying to explain a little bit also, like, why would a language of Chiyuv matter? Right? I mean, for the Sma, the issue is, oh, what do you need to say Me'achshav if it automatically is Me'achshav? That's the Sma. Okay? So then this idea of, oh, because you're Megaladas, that's a Reyesa, even if it isn't, you know, but that's the fine, you know, impact on Kinyan Devar. But what about Lashonos themselves? Like, Eseh, like we already saw this in other Lashonos, is one thing. Ech Achlok, or Eseh, but if I say, you know, Yitol, you know, which means automatic, or even if I say Etain, that's still better, you know, than Eseh or Echlo, because it's a Lashon Matana, although it is, you know, future oriented, but it's still, you know, still a Matana. It's a, you know, not just an action, a Maisa. So let's say I say, you know, a Lashon of Chiyuv. Okay. And again, I was talking about, I mentioned Reb Chaim the other day about the Ksuba, you know, the Chiyuv to be Mischayev, you know. It's a very interesting question. Because chiyuv sounds like shibud, right? But, you know, obviously just using language when it's not appropriate isn't going to help you. So, you know, because chiyuv is always kind of a commitment and not just a promise, because chiyuv is always, you know, something, you know, that I'm trying to root in the present, that's transactional, not action-oriented. Well, what exactly is it about the chiyuv? Or maybe because chiyuv always kind of attempts to kind of invoke or trigger the Shibud Aguf, and maybe that will invoke Shibud Nechasim. Does that always work? Or does that only work when there's some sort of an immediate, like, achrayas? Right? Very, very unclear. Just like in Ksubah, Ligavas Mechayim. But, so this ends up being a little bit part of the discussion also of the Ksos and the Desivas. Yeah?
Is it so obvious that it's almost like, can you kind of love Lachrodin has, like, more serious or more formal than like a promise or more of like a shvuah kind of your idea did?
Say that one more time.
Like when if we're comparing, I guess, like shvuah and promise versus this kinyan, is it so obvious that kinyan is more chamor or is more formal than?
I don't know if it's more formal, but we're talking about the effectiveness of using a kinyan as opposed to the. No, the issue is that I hear what you're asking. It's a really good point. I'm not saying that a kinyan is more formal or formidable than a shavua. First of all, there's a difference between a haftacha and a shavua, right? And a shavua also requires certain, you know, kind of language, to be honest. But what I will say is they're different. Meaning, you know, a shavua is a way through hafla of, you know, of accomplishing certain things. The issue in our sugya isn't really about that. The issue in our sugya is kinyan dvarim yalma. In other words, going back to the Gemara says, like, you know, big deal. They agreed to split their partnership. You know, yicholim, you know, lahadriya, you know, they could be chozer. Like, what makes that binding? Now, again, if you take the language of a neder or a shvua, so then you're bound, but, you know, just on the basis of your word and you know, you're bound as, you know, as Ha'adam Bishua, you know, in Sefer Hafla. But here we're talking about being bound in the world of Kinyanin. So it isn't that Kinyan's more formal, it's that we're talking about the binding, you know, character of a Kinyan. And what we're saying is, if you accompany a promise, you know, or an intention, you know, or an action, a commitment to action, you know, which itself isn't transactional, with a kinyan, it just may be meaningless. Whereas, because what you need to do is actually make a kinyan. And what I'm saying is, making a kinyan doesn't necessarily require, like, all the most obvious things, like, you know, transferring ownership or, maybe you don't need that. Maybe there's other kinyanim that are way more subtle, you know, and way more personal, shibudei agavra and things like that. But they still need to cross into the area of being transactions or being, therefore, you know, legal commitments or something legal has happened, at least in terms of yourself. So that doesn't mean they're more bigger violations, less, you know, lesser violations, more formal, informal than Shavua or Neder. They're just different. You know, we're dealing with different Isurim, different consequences, different circumstances. Right? Yeah. So this question of Chiyuv becomes an interesting thing. Go ahead.
Should I read the pshat that he gives?
Yeah.
Is there any question on Yastaiti? The Kevin Akasa, the Kasa Shtar Blashim Chiyuv, Shim Krenuza, have like din star mamish.
Whoa.
The Govi Mishabdi. Dim Kenachaname, Himachar la Acher, Torit Mine, Dim Shabdi le Vidok.
So basically, what he's trying to do here is what?
He's saying that the Lashon of Chiyuv does something right now.
The Lashon of Chiyuv, in context of a shtar, solves the problem of Kinyan Dvarim, even when there's no Me'achshav, because of Shibudim. And of course, this is patterned and inspired by, you know, the Balei Tosfos all over the place, you know, who say this, that, you know, even, you know, the Shibud Aguf can trigger a Shibud Nechasim, so it's all like a kind of Kinyan Mamon, right, through Shtar. Correct? And that, but the problem, of course, is, and this is a question I raised when we were, you know, encountering it in the Balei Tosfos all over the place, right, can you always do that? I mean, you know, is everything nitan to a Shibud Aguf, you know, which then, you know, also translates into a Shibud Nechasim? Maybe only chiyuvim that have, or status that has like a certain, like a shomer. So, you know, you're becoming a different kind of a shomer. You're turning yourself from a shoel, from a shomer chinam into a shoel, or at least vis-a-vis some of these, you know, some of the level of achrayis. There is such a thing, is what I'm trying to say. Right? Ksuba. You know, so again, assuming that the ksuba also has to do with the ishus and things of that sort, or the chiyuv lehitkayev. So the chiyuv lehitkayev yoter, you know, in the case of Tosefes. So, you know, all these things can, you know, they exist kind of in the present, at least on the Shibud Aguf level, such that, you know, they can down the road trigger the consequence of Shibud Nechasim, you know, too. But if I just say, you know, M. Karen, I don't owe you anything, right? There's no Shmira, there's no Ishus, you know, relationship. Just two people, they bump into each other. To, you know, no framework. Can I be Meshabed Atzmi, either through a Kinyan Sudar or through a Shtar, you know, a Shibud Aguf for Shibud Nechasim? That's what the Ksos kind of says, right? That's a little Mechuda. And then he himself goes on. Go ahead. Which is exactly what he's saying, I think. Right. So when this becomes a very important little piece, kind of to highlight, you know, when can you say what the Balei Tosfos try to say, you know, and when not. But I think that the justification of it is, at minimum, the guy's trying to move away from, with a shtar or a lashon chiyuv, he's trying to move away from, you know, a commitment to future action. He's even trying to move away from promising. What he's trying to do, right, as much as possible, is turn this into a legal, transactional commitment, even though it has no consequences in the present. Maybe he can do that through Shibud Aguf, maybe he can't. You know, that's kind of what's being... And then again, the Nesivos also doesn't like it so much. What is the Nesivos' contribution to this whole discussion? And with that, we'll conclude this part.
He says,
the second piece, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Dinza Tamua, number one, the Lashins Alamhani Midi. The Tsarch Lahaknos Midi, the second, he's talking about Seif Base already. Kishem Kareno Re Kinuyalach, and so on, or whatever.
Oh, from the beginning?
Yeah, no, you don't have to read.
He quotes the Exos the best.
Yeah, he quotes it so. Of course, he quotes the Marik. Two things are important. One I already mentioned. Hine Mara the Haidina, first one is just important for our next. We have two little things left to do. One is the Sudar and one is Shutim, right? So he says, like, what is this Marik about? Go ahead. You have that?
Yeah. Hine Mara the Haidina Hua Marik. Vianti Sham Marik Shorish Kof. Visham Mari Bishutapim Lizman. There's talking about Shutapis.
So that's of course very important. Again, we don't have so much time to go into this question, but this goes to the heart of the issue which we'll discuss a little bit more in our sugya, namely
Shutapis.
Yeah. Meaning when you break up shutfas, or when you're in a state of shutfas, you know, how do we look at the relationship between, the whole, the halves, and what will be after the breakup?
Right.
And the more you look at it as kind of like a rebalancing, the easier it is to say that the regular rules, don't apply. And maybe that's again my suggestion. From the beginning of the sugya, maybe that's one of the reasons why the Gemara could have had a Hava Mina, this isn't, Devarim Biyama, because it isn't, I'll do something, Davar Shalom Bal Yolam or Yesh Mi'ay, right? What it means is I'm committing to reconfigure in a way that is relevant to the present and has roots in the present, right? Towards the future. So again, this idea that the Tanai without Kinyan, or that, how you define Devarim will be different when it comes to Shutfas, is what the Sivas is suggesting for the Marik. Okay? So that's very important. We'll build on that. Then when he quotes the Mishnah Malach and he talks about the... Go ahead, you have that part?
Yeah. Achor Hav Natas of the Mishnah Malach, Perichas Melchus Mechira,
This isn't what he's saying it even more clearly in the Xos, and that is, this doesn't correspond to anything. Or he doesn't get anything. In the case of Shomer, he becomes a different kind of a Shomer. Or he's perceived that his status changes. In the case of Ksuba, right? So, there is something. But here, it kind of remains future action, promise, right, oriented. So just because you're using Lashon Mekiyuv and Shibra Guf, right, Rakshi Ischai Vatzmo Limkor, it's a Chiyuv to do a Mechira, right? If there's no Me'akshav, it's a delayed Lamafreya Kinyan, that's something else. The Kivin Shabasra Kanaminadin have a Kiilu his Kayabats Moldover Shenu Biyado. Shenachiyuv Kal. Okay. So anyway, so that's what I wanted to just pick up with. And I guess we'll stop with this. But there is so much more, and you can see these lead to other things. But what I think does emerge, both in the Lishonos and in the different sugyas, is that there's a range of views of what Kinyan Dvar and Bialma is. And there is a very interesting kind of a gray area which calls upon Shibud Aguf, sometimes translating into Shubin Lakasim, sometimes, you know, translating, you know, just into a change in status of your relationship with that person or with that thing. You know, you become like Omed, you know, Lakabel. He's Omed Lakabel, you know, this thing. You know, that's a legal status, or you're Omed, you know, Hiskayev for something. You know, even if it isn't acted on in the present, because it's a shibuk, a guf. The question is that just words, or is that, you know, legally true? And that depends on, you know, what you're getting instead of it, how, whether it's the kind of thing, you know, that does register. Very subtle issues can be the difference between what constitutes kinyan dvarim and a real kinyan. But going back to the Magid Mishnah for a minute, and that is, you know, maybe when it comes, Magid Mishnah's idea was, you know, even when it comes to shtar, but let's say that's the hierarchy. If we're talking about, you know, like a physical kinyan in the chepetz, like a meshicha or a hagba or a mesira or karka, let's say, you know, chazaka, you know, maybe even kesef. Kesef is physical kinyan, but kesef is, you know, is certainly more of like a quid pro quo kind of a kinyan. So, you know, then the idea that there has to be a more immediate and a more obvious, tangible, you know, kinyan aspect, you know, as opposed to simply shibud aguf, you know, where you become omed lehischayev or you know, future of the sky, or he becomes, you know, a potential future recipient or an omed to be a recipient or et cetera, et cetera. To say those things about these more concrete kinyanim is more problematic, you know, than to say it about kinyanim that themselves, you know, focus on shibud aguf, on iskaibus, on gomar umakli. Those are two different things too. But the more, you know, a kinyan is about, you know, the makne, or the makne and the kone, and their status changing, as opposed to, you know, the transfer of title on the cheftza, right? The easier it is to buy, you know, this middle category, this subtle idea of, you know, being meshabedat or meshubad or, you know, omed lekabel, etc. And that is true both on a chiyuv level, on a mischayiv level, as well, you know, in terms of that, shibud aguf, as well as, and these just overlap, but I think they're just a little bit different, you know, in terms of gomer umakni, like, as I mentioned, you know, the idea that kinyanim, the relationship between the das you need for a kinyan, you know, the level of your commitment to what you're doing, your seriousness, and the maisa is, of course, one of the most, you know, important issues in all of kinyanim. The idea, you know, that, you know, gomer makni, you know, alone, if it could be somewhat concretized or objectified, you know, would be enough to transfer. It doesn't have to be the foundation of all kinyanim, but it certainly can be a mode of kinyan. And if we're talking about kinyan dvarim, especially if it's easier to understand, you know, the concept of commitment, you know, or even legal promise, that is certainly something which fits better with the emphasis of gavur makri. So when the Rishonim seem to be partial, you know, to either applying these cases to shtar, right, which we'll discuss a little bit tomorrow, is based perhaps also on Dasa Miskayev, or on, even more so on Kinyan Sudar, right, that's a very understandable pilaf, right, both in terms of Meshabed Atzmo and Shibud, as an amorphous middle category, especially Shibud Aguf, as well as simply Haftacha you know, and Gomer Makni, you know, just the level of commitment and seriousness, you know, if that itself has the ability, you know, to engender a Kenyan. Okay? So as far as that is concerned, we're just going to take a step back a little bit and just go very quickly. Again, it's a massive topic. I'm not going to do it all, but just to talk about some of the basic ones, just to establish that there are two, broadly speaking, big perspectives on how you understand Kenyan Sudha, whether Kenyan Sudha is like a regular Kenyan, albeit, you know, it looks quite different, but notwithstanding the way it looks, it is mostly in the pattern of a regular Kenyan, or whether it really is something, you know, very different, focused on Himyur's Das. Okay? So that will be for tomorrow. Okay? Regular time tomorrow.